Well, we are still in Hebrews chapter 5. I was talking with Stephen, and Stephen made this comment because we spent some time in Hebrews chapter 4 for a while, and now we're in Hebrews chapter 5. Stephen said, the book of Hebrews, it's just that halftime talk, because he's a coach, you know. It's that halftime, come on, guys, we got this. Jesus is better than you can think. Keep on pressing in. Keep on moving. Keep on going. Keep on growing. And so that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about growing. Say growing. Growing. We've been talking about discernment. But in this little section, we're seeing how discernment is tied in with growth. Like, you cannot separate the two. You can't have discernment without growth. And so we're talking about discernment and maturity, because maturity means that I have grown. Look at your neighbor and say, Tell me the last time you grew. When's the last time that you felt that you really grew in the Lord? I hope it's today. I hope it's this week. I hope it's last week. I hope it's, you know, recently. But if not, we're here to challenge you that Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. So just a real quick review last time. We found this. We're called to be all in disciples of Christ. Nothing will make you more miserable than trying Jesus. And I don't mean that how it sounds. And, you know, Jesus invites all to come. And, you know, Dwight always used to say, you know, try it. Give Jesus your sins. If you don't want them, if you don't like it, he'll give them back to you after a while, you know, kind of. And that's not what we're saying. We're saying that if as a 10-year seasoned Christian, you're still trying Jesus, you're going to be miserable. That is not the life that the Christ follower is called to. We're called to be all in. We gave the illustration last time of jumping. I'm going to skydive, right? But I'm not really all in. Like, I want to skydive because all my friends are skydiving, so I'm going to skydive. And, you know, it's that first time I'm going to hang out of the plane with my ankle's still around the door, and you're hanging behind the plane, right? Or I'm going all in, kind of. I don't really want to have a pilot. I don't need someone else involved in my stuff, right? So I'm going to try to fly the plane myself, or we've went through a bunch of different ones, or I don't want to go way up and jump out. So I'm going to go maybe how high up? 80, 90, maybe 80, 90 feet. What happens if you skydive from 80, 90 feet? Ugh, kashploot, right? When I think I'm being cautious, I think I'm being safer about it. I'm only going 80, 90 feet. That's not what it's built for. And a little part of your life is not what you're built for in walking with Christ. We're not built to serve us and to serve others and to serve Jesus at the same time. It's not. And I don't mean serve others in the good way, serve others in the bad way, like following others in the bad way. And so being all in disciples of Jesus Christ is what we're called to be. And just one more note on that. When we're talking about being all in disciples, and if you're kind of gauging your heart on that, am I all in? That's never in comparison to others. I don't ever look at Stephen and go, oh yeah, well, I'm all in. Well, he's certainly not. Like, when we're judging if we're all in, it's judged against my own heart. Like, am I giving everything I have? And I promise you that we all don't. We all don't. There's always more rooms of our heart that need to be unlocked. There's always, like, the skins of an onion, more that needs to be peeled away for Jesus to take over. And I don't know about you, but you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have lots of regrets in what you've given over to Jesus? You know, the things that you've surrendered to him, how many are you walking with regrets now? Man, I wish I would have never done that. When we regret not doing that, and it's scary to do that, but when we do, there's never a regret there. We're always like, why didn't I do this sooner? Why didn't I follow Christ with all of my heart sooner? Why didn't I give him that fear or that anxiety or that anger or that unforgiveness or that frustration or that part of my life that I want control over? Why didn't I give that to him sooner? Because life is much better with it surrendered to him. So that's what we talked about last time. One of the hallmarks of maturity and growth is that it fundamentally changes what we need. We're going to see that I didn't put the verses up for all of these, but it's still in Hebrews 5. you should be teachers by now, you know, you should be mature, but you're still infants, so you need someone to preach the elementary truths of God's word. You need milk and not mature food. And it's this idea that when we grow, our needs change. When we grow, our needs change. We needed someone to give us a ride to school and then a ride back home. But then we grew and we were able to get a license. And so we don't need that anymore unless we lose our license. Then that's a bad thing. There's so many different things where we grow in life and we don't need the same things anymore. And so I want to throw this up here for you. Sometimes we get stuck because we keep getting helped out instead of helped up. We keep becoming convinced that, and we even talk to God, well, I need this. God, I this is how I am. I need whatever. And God is saying, you know what you need? You need to grow. And sometimes, see, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Sometimes the way that God supplies needs is by giving you things, you know, bringing things, provision into your life. Sometimes how he provides for your need is growing you so that you don't have that need in your life anymore. Amen? Hesitant amens. I sense that you're with me. You're just not sure. Sometimes God brings provision in our life in the way of satisfying our needs. Sometimes he grows us out of those needs. And we will always need people, but we need the kind of people that want to help us up and not just help us out. Not just provide. I mean, that's great. But then we get in this cycle where I can't even function anymore if I don't have this in my life, if I don't have this. And God's saying, come on, live higher than that. Go up. Grow up. Not in the mean way, but grow up in the healthy way. Get mature, right? So sometimes we get stuck in life, you know, just because we're not being mature. And then we read this verse. It's just the second part of that. It's because of their practice. And so we said this. So sometimes it's because of who's helping us and how they're helping us. And sometimes we get stuck because, this is what we ended with last time, because we're not putting into practice what we know that we already need to be doing. How many of our life's tragedies and pitfalls and things that we need now to be rescued from would be avoided if we just did what we were supposed to do? We had a crisis in our house the other day. A panic phone call to mom and to dad. Someone in our house, besides mom and dad, not saying who it was, lost the money that was in the stairs. And so my conversation back to that person was, do you remember last week when I asked whose money this was and you said it was yours? And then do you remember the 73 or 5,900 times in between now and then that I said, clean the stairway? So what should have been done is the stairway should get cleaned. And now we're in a crisis. Now, there's a good end to the story. Ended up they had moved it earlier and forgot about it. So they still need to clean the stairs. But how many of you guys have gotten stranded on the road because you should have put gas in, but you're like, I can make it? How many things in our life do we procrastinate and push back and I don't want to do, and I know I should be doing that. How many things in our spiritual life should we be doing? And it's not that you need revelation. You don't need an angel to show up and be like, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt forgive thy brother. You know, like you already know. You got stuff in your heart and you know you're supposed to be doing it. Well, bless the Lord, I'm walking in the grace of God. I don't need to read the word and whatever and whatever. And you struggle in about every 3 minutes because you're just hit up against and attacked. And, well, do you know the word? Well, yeah, bless God. I'm free. How about you read the word of God and just get, you know what I mean? Spiritually, if we're not doing the things that we know that we're supposed to be doing, we can end up stuck really easy. And sometimes you don't need someone to lay hands on you. Someone needs to lay feet on you, on your backside, and just say, do what you know you're supposed to do and experience freedom and experience growth. And so we found all of that in Hebrews 5. Now we're moving on today, and we're going to read the verse. Concerning him, we have much to say. This is the same verse for the last 3 weeks, so you know where it's at, Hebrews 5, 11, 12. It's hard to explain since you become what? Dull of hearing. That was how we first started. Don't become sluggish in the hearings, guys. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed, say accustomed, they're not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of their practice have trained their senses to discern good and evil. Today we're going to talk about the word accustomed. The word accustomed, it means this. First definition is customary, usual, habitual, custom. Aspen, what's our custom on Friday nights? We have family night on Friday nights. That's one of our customs. It's one of our customs in America to when you greet somebody, and we don't all do it, but you know, what do you do when you greet somebody? When shake hands, right? Hi, good to meet you. When you meet someone, it's custom this year. I kind of shared with a couple times that it's the first time this last past year that we didn't have plans for Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, it was always our custom to go to my mom and dad's side of the family, and now kind of they've all passed along, and we're all, you know how it gets when the kids grow up and get families of their own. And so our custom is different. So I've been accustomed on Christmas Eve to going up there, and we didn't do that this year. You can also do things that are against customs. For instance, how many have ever been overseas? Anyone ever been overseas? A few people have been overseas. There are some countries that don't have toilet paper or don't often use toilet paper. And one of your appendages is maybe reserved for that type of action. And so if you'd go in one of those countries and you go up to somebody with your left hand, you kind of put your arm around them, pat them on the back, and rub their hair. What do you think is going to happen in that scenario? Right? So that's what you see in the Bible when it talks about right hand and left hand, that the left hand is unclean. And for that reason, it's filthy, literally filthy. And so, funny story, one time, when I first got saved, we went over to Wilmer, Minnesota, and there was this evangelist that my friend knew. He was preaching. He had been in like 40 or 50 countries, I think. And he was a younger guy, but he had traveled a lot and was passionate about Jesus and bringing revival. So he'd gone to this country, and I forget which one it was, and he kind of knew what was coming. And so gets off the plane, and then they had to take a car ride on bumpy roads for forever. Well, by the time he got to the village, he had to go potty pretty bad. So in the village, there was a bathroom, and it's just often it's a hole in the ground. And so, of course, he's a white guy, and that's big news. And so wherever he was at, he gets out, runs over to the hole in the ground, which is in the middle of town, and everyone from the village gathers to watch him. And that part of the story, like, he'd been in enough countries and he knew enough about it that he knew he kind of expected that. So he's kind of squatting down doing what people do when they have to go to the bathroom really bad. And there's a whole crowd of people gathered around him because they want to see what's going to happen next. And so he kind of finishes up and he's looking around at all the people, reaches behind him, pulls out a roll of toilet paper. He's like, I came prepared. And so I thought that was a funny story. I won't tell that one anymore. I was just saying, talking about the customs. Or if someone came to America and they're like, hey, you know, this is my friend, whatever, Rajneesh or whatever, you know, from somewhere. And this is my mom. And so he comes up to my mom and he's like, good to meet you. How old are you? How much money do you make? Like, mom probably wouldn't be impressed with my choice of friends, right? Like, there's just some things culturally that you just don't do. And so that's what I'm saying is custom means usual, habitual, or kind of what's acceptable. And kind of the word that we're looking a little more at today, it means, I don't know, from the dictionary, habituated, acclimated. I remember when I first went to Hawaii. Now, this is a exotic story about a normal thing. So at the end of the story, it's not that exciting. But I went to Hawaii, and I wanted to be a fitness trainer. And so I was going to go to some gyms, and so I was down there for a while, and I left here in February in a South Dakota winter, and it was one of those winters. We just about didn't make it to the airport. You know those winters, right? Okay, it's been a while since you guys have been in snow, so they get really bad. And so I got to Hawaii, and it's like 70 degrees. 69, I think it was that day, or 68. And so jumped on a bus. I went to a gym and whatever, and I'm coming back, and I'm standing at the bus stop waiting for the bus, and I've got a tank top on. And I look over, and there's these two ladies that are probably in their 60s, and they've got, like, parkas on and sweatshirts, and they're just shaking. And I'm like, they must have saw me looking at them, or I must have said something. And so they're like, it's so cold. And I'm like, in my tank top, like, it's so hot. And so we had this discussion, and they're like, this is cold for us. And I'm like, well, where I'm from, I don't know, you got like another 50 degrees before it gets chilly. You know, like this, I don't know. And so we get accustomed to the weather. Now, what would happen if we went out from this service right now and it was 10 below out there? We'd all about die, right? But give it a few months as we get acclimated to it. I remember standing up with my friend Grady up on Main Street. This is a vivid memory that I have, and I don't remember why, but back in the day, we used to have these trench coats. And so I had this long trench coat on, and it wasn't very warm. It was real thin. Remember those? And so I had this T-shirt on underneath and a trench coat, and we were standing up by kind of the bank up by the bakery up on Main Street there. And talking with Grady, and we were just kind of looking around during the middle of the day, and the wind is blowing. And I remember standing, my trench coat's kind of flopping out, and I remember being pretty warm. I don't think I even had gloves on. And we kind of commented on that. And it was one of those, again, one of those cold, bad winters. And Grady and I were talking, and we were just saying, yeah, it's just not even that cold anymore. This must be a really nice day. And we happened to look over at the bank clock thing, and it said 0 degrees. And I just remember that hit me. I'm like, we should be really cold, but we had acclimated. We had become accustomed to the cold. And there's lots of things that we can be accustomed to or not accustomed to. COVID's going on. Anyone not accustomed to having your kids home all the time? Been a lot of angst in houses with kids home for extended seasons of times when we're not accustomed to it. We get used to things, and we get accustomed to things. How about this one? Daylight savings time. That one's hard to get accustomed to. Or whichever the one where it's, I have to get up earlier than I normally would. Spring forward? Yeah, that one. Because I should have another hour of sleep. And I like my sleep in the morning. And now Barb, she pops her eyes open, and she's accustomed to it before it even happens. She's like, oh, what's taking so long? Guys like me, we're like, another hour, come on, please. So I'm maybe finally starting to get accustomed to daylight savings time, but it takes time for us to adapt and get used to things. And so we read this in the Word, and this is Hebrews 5:13. We already read it, but everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. Like, it's kind of grating on us because he's an infant. What are babies accustomed to? Anyone ever babysit? Anyone ever have a baby? Anyone ever been a baby? Okay. What are babies accustomed? Let's just talk about babies for a second. What are babies accustomed to? They're accustomed to soft food or easily digested food. Now, what would happen to a little baby if you went and just stuck a chunk of steak in their mouth? They'd probably choke, or they'd probably gnaw on it a little bit, but they're not accustomed. How about a chunk of broccoli? They would do the righteous thing and spit it out. Yep, praise the Lord. They're used to this kind of mushy food that we kind of is cringy to us, but they're accustomed to that, and they're used to that. They're accustomed to being coddled, right? They like to be snuggled and held and kind of cooed over and given a lot of attention to and just... overall, being spoiled. That's what the kids are in the Snaza house. Spoiled. They're accustomed to having people do things for them. if you're a baby, in that sense, you kind of got it made. You got, like, someone's going to bring you your food. Someone's going to put you in your chair. They're going to buckle you in. Can you imagine as a 31-year-old, if you're like, buckle me in every time you get in the car? You're like, mom, food, right? Like, it just is bizarre. We don't do that because we've grown. But infants, they're accustomed to having people do things for them. They're accustomed to having an intense concern for themselves. Like, they want to know why I'm not getting food and why it's not happening right now. They want to know who's going to comfort me when I'm scared, because I'm scared right now. They want, do you know what I mean? Like, it's, everything's really kind of about them. Am I hungry? Am I dirty? Am I scared? Am I happy? Am I sad? Like, it's all about them. There's really, there's no team in baby. Wait. They are, have accustomed to having displays of emotions or reactions to get their needs met. Like, that's how they've figured out that if I cry, someone's going to come to my aid. If I fall down on the floor and kick and scream my feet, dad's going to maybe have a talk with me, but mom might get me something. I don't know. See if who we can get in trouble here. But these are things that infants are accustomed to. Now, the writer of Hebrews is saying, you're infants. You're not accustomed to the word of righteousness. You're infants. And now we're taking a little bit of liberty, because he isn't necessarily saying all these things. But what if, in our Christian walk, what if some of these things apply to us? What if, and this he is saying, what if we are only accustomed to soft or easily digested food? What if the only word of God that we can take is bumper sticker Christianity, you know, fridge magnet verses? What about the verses that really dig into our hearts and really, like, are we accustomed to that, or do we react against that? Are we accustomed to being coddled? Do we have to kind of have attention all the time? Now, you super extroverts, I'm not talking to you because you can't help it, right? You guys just want to be coddled and fondled and attentioned and all those kind of things because that's how God made you. You get a free pass. Talking about emotionally, we got to be coddled and given attention to. And there's a time in our Christian walk where we need to grow beyond that. Well, I walked into the room and they didn't even say hi to me. So what? Grow up. Have a concern for others. And that's the third or fourth one there. But having people do things for them. How many of us in our spiritual walk are just relying on the pastor to pray for someone for you? And not that the pastor shouldn't. The pastor's excited to do that. But what about you doing that? What about in your spiritual walk, you digging into the Word of God? What about in your spiritual walk, you pursuing God to see an answer for your community? What about in your spiritual walk that you pray over your spouse, or you take time to do that? You see, that's what growth is. We don't want to be infants where we're stuck in infant mode. And the one we had already mentioned it, as Christ followers in maturity. Now, if we're just baby Christians, that's one thing. But if you've walked with Christ for a little bit, if you're marked by an intense concern for yourself still, we need to grow out of that. We've got to start realizing there's someone else in the room besides me, and serve and give and love and get our eyes off of ourselves. You guys know that number four right there? That is the one that's going to cause you the most kind of anxiety and discontentment in your life, is just being concerned about you. If everything's wrapped up in you, you're going to end up with fears and phobias and isms, and it just messes with us, because that's not what we're built for. We're built to love and give and serve, worship God. How about, there'd be no Christians in this church that would be number five there, I'm sure. But displays of emotion or reaction to get their needs met? You would never leverage that or manipulate anybody to get needs met, right? Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. But if you would be, that's bad. Like, we want to grow up out of that. So it's just a little challenge from Hebrews that we want to be mature, that we don't want to live in the infant zone. Like, that's fine for a little bit, but we had best have our passports to get out of the infant zone and to really mature and start growing. So how about this? Have I gotten accustomed to things in my life that are not promoting kingdom living? Is there things that I'm used to in my life that just aren't kingdom? They're just not how God, maybe they're not blatant sin, but they're not a pathway that God would have me to grow in. Because they tend to feel like normal things, comforting things. It tends to feel like things that are just me. That's the way I am. If this is not hurting right now, then you're either zoning out or you're thinking about lunch, because this should be stepping on your toes. This is, every single one of us have things in our life that probably is not promoting kingdom living. And then we just say, you know what, that's just how I am. That's just, I like this. And God's saying, you know what, getting accustomed to things like that is not the pathway to growth. What we become accustomed to is largely going to determine the course and the effectiveness in our life. Let me explain that to you. We tend to lean into things that we're comfortable with. Things that you know, things that you're familiar with, things that you're accustomed to, you gravitate towards those things. You walk into a room full of strangers, you see one person that you know, where do you go in that room? Right? Except a few of you extroverts. You can't wait to tell new people your stories. Again, this message is not for you. It's for the rest of us. We tend to be comfortable with things, and that's where I want to run, right? And wherever that's at in life, we've got this kind of gravitating back to this level of familiarity and of comfort. The reason that what we're accustomed to is such a big deal, it's because it's easy to revert to what's familiar and comfortable. So imagine a custom, imagine that being kind of like your baseline. And when that's set too low or ungodly or not healthy, that's what you're going to revert to. You know, Jesus came and he walked with his disciples for a few years, and then he got put on a cross and things kind of fell apart for a moment. Guess what the disciples did, most of them? They went back to being fishermen. You know, you take Egypt, power of God for Israel, right? Plagues, Red Sea, and whatever. Get to where you're going, and Moses goes up on the mountain. He's gone for a little too long. What do we do, Aaron? I know, let's build a calf, because that was familiar. It was one of the gods of Egypt. Well, let's worship that. Or how about crying along the way, I wish we could go back to the leeks and onions. I wish we could go back to what we knew. How many times in our life, and every one of you would raise your hand for this one, how many times in our life you have run back to something that you've gotten out of or you know is unhealthy because it's familiar? Man, things just got hard, or I'm in this anxiety, or I'm in this unknown season of life, and you scoot right back to that thing that you know is not healthy in your life. That's why what we're accustomed to is so important, because that ends up being our lowest common denominator. It ends up being our fail-safe. It ends up being what we fall back on. And so if we don't get unaccustomed to some of those things, we're in trouble. What happens when we are not accustomed to something? I know I'm saying accustomed a lot, because that's what the message is on, but what happens when we are not accustomed to something? Number one, we have adverse reactions. So I'm not accustomed to, what are those, Debbie, what are those eggs that they have? Balut? Yeah. Kind of got some chicken parts in them and whatever, I don't know. I'm not accustomed to that. I'm accustomed to my eggs, sunny side, you know, easy over, sunny side up, on toast, or whatever, like something like that. Not with chickies in them, right? You know, I'm not accustomed to that. So what happens when I bite into that? I have an adverse reaction. How many of you have ever started a workout routine of some type? Went to the gym, you did some exercise program, most of you guys. What happens the next day? Sore. Your body has an adverse reaction. Has anyone ever been like super gung-ho? You're like, they're telling you need to ease into this, and you're like, nah, not me. Yes. Most of us guys, we're like, the women are smarter. Most of us guys are like, 2 sets? 22 sets, right? 1 mile? 5 miles, right. And so we have these adverse reactions. We, if there's food that we put textures in our mouth that we don't like, we gag, right? If we're not, if we leave South Dakota in the winter and then we go to Florida, we walk out, our glasses fog up, and I'm going to die. Like, I'm going to die right now. I can't breathe. My body is melting, right? We're not accustomed. So we have these bad reactions. And so then the next thing that comes along is we have negative conclusions. So I get these legitimate bad reactions. And so then I conclude that, gosh, this is a bad thing, right? I don't like this. I don't like this feeling. I don't like the taste of broccoli in my mouth. I don't like hot weather when it's like melting the sidewalks. I don't care for this. And this is a bad thing. And so we process that. And then in my life, I resist experiencing that again. So all my buddies, they're talking about their new workout program. And I'm like, call me when you're talking about the Vikings or something, right? I don't even want to talk about that because I've had a negative experience. I've come to now to a negative conclusion. I'm kind of made up my mind about that. And now I don't want that in my life anymore, right? And I distance myself from that. I'm not, you know what? My route to work used to go by the gym. Now I go the other way around town, right? Okay, that's a little extreme. But like, that's the process that happens in all of our lives for things that we're not accustomed to. If I had tasted broccoli once, it made me gag. I come to the conclusion, and this one's hard because this one's true. Broccoli is terrible, right? And then I distance myself from broccoli. I pick it out of my food. I pick it out of my neighbor's food that I don't even know, right? Like, I'm distancing myself from broccoli. And then the fourth thing is the really important one. Your negative experience becomes fact to you. Ouch is right. You have this negative reaction against something. This is all something that we're just simply not accustomed to. I'm simply not accustomed to a different temperature. Millions of people live there all the time, and they don't die. They're fine. Millions of people eat broccoli all the time. They're fine. You shouldn't, but they're fine, right? We can eat softer foods. Different cultures eat these foods all the time. Or I remember the first time I had a jalapeno. I did not know what was happening to me. We didn't grow up with that stuff in our house. I put it in my mouth and I was happy because it was tangy. I love tangy things. I'm like, whoa. Then I was like, whoa. I don't know where I was all my life. It was college. It was my first year of college. We went to Mexican Villa, I think it was called. It was so good. I was eating this burrito and I finally got one of those buggers on top. And I'm like, I had to ask someone what they were. They're like, that's jalapenos. I'm like, who, what? Jalapenos, just eat them. I'm like, okay. And I crunched into that thing. I'm like, oh, this is heavenly. It's tangy. Oh, wow. What's happening to me? I had a moment. We thought Jesus might come back right then and there because it was really hot and I wasn't accustomed to it. And so if I follow this procedure, then I get these negative conclusions and then I don't want that in my life at all. But then the fourth one is really the kicker because then that becomes fact. No, I know working out is bad. And you get an attitude about it and you tell other people they're dumb for working out. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just becomes reality to you when you just had a bad experience. You weren't accustomed to it. And sometimes we do that with spirituality. And that's exactly what Hebrews 5 is telling them. You're not accustomed to the word. Like, I've got so much more. Remember, Hebrews 5 is this, it's this pep talk. It's this speech. It's this, you can do this, guys. Jesus is better. And he says, there's so much more I want to share with you. There's so much more that God has for you, but you're not accustomed to it. You're dull of hearing now, and you're not accustomed to the meat of God's word, and you need milk. And you are so missing out. And you know what? You're also derailing your life with God. Not like you end up in hell kind of thing, but like you're derailing your progress simply because you're not accustomed to it. And you dive in I tried praying for 20 minutes once. Yeah, praying for that long is bad. Yep. I don't want to pray again. The pastor is the only one that should pray that long. Right? You kind of go through the list. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, come on, guys. Like, I know you're not accustomed to this. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's uneasy for you. See, we get stuck sometimes because we get helped out instead of helped up. And we're not doing what we know we're supposed to be doing. And then sometimes we think that what we are accustomed to is good and what we're not accustomed to is bad. And that's not a healthy train of thought because there's any time you're going to grow, you're not going to be accustomed to it. It's going to feel uncomfortable for you. It's going to feel uneasy. It's going to feel not natural. Anyone have wool sweaters? I'm not accustomed to wool sweaters. I don't like them. But I suppose if I wore them all the time and I was in the right kind of climate, I would probably actually really enjoy them because I'm sure they're really warm. Right? There's so many things of God, you guys, that might kind of throw you back for a second because you're not accustomed to it. And God is saying, there's so much more. Lean into it even when you're not accustomed because you're not going to grow otherwise. And what we're accustomed to becomes the cap of our spiritual growth. And that's a bad thing. What I'm used to becomes the limit for how I can grow in God. What I'm comfortable with is the ceiling for my maturity in Christ. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. We've got to grow beyond what we're comfortable with. Has anyone ever grown in the Lord before, ever in your life? Was it uncomfortable? There are moments where it is downright just like a Thursday squat workout. It's just, it's tough. But there's so much joy and hope on the other side. There's so much freedom. There's so much life. It's worth it. Look at someone, say, it's worth it. It's worth it. Last one. What does God want to grow in your life, but you're resisting because it felt uncomfortable? That's your homework for the week. Ask the Holy Spirit, God, what have I been pushing you back in? The Holy Spirit's just kind of like, come on, come on. And you're like, oh, that doesn't feel right. Come on, come on. Dive into my word. Come on, worship me. Come on, spend some time in prayer. Come on, go witness to someone. Come on, forgive your brother. Forgive your neighbor. No, get rid of your bitterness. Come on, come on, get rid of your laziness. No, come on. And the Holy Spirit's just kind of pulling on us, but we're like, this doesn't fit right. It's uncomfortable. What has God been pulling on your heart and tugging in your heart and opening up a door and inviting you into freedom and empowerment and growth, but it's uneasy for us, and so we back away. That's my challenge. That's my question. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a God of second, third, and 300th chances, God. We just thank you that you are always faithful. You're always tugging on our hearts, God. And we just ask that we would be able to grow beyond what we're comfortable with today, God. Thank you for Hebrews 5, where you're challenging us to not get stuck in infant land, but to grow into maturity, Lord. We bless this people, and give us a great week in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a blessed day, folks.